Hey Potters! Welcome to episode number 105 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. I am Valerie, one half of the team for CosPod, and unfortunately Amber is not here today. She's had a couple of life things kind of come up at the last minute, a few emergencies. She is very apologetic that she is not here today. She really wants to talk to us about a bunch of stuff and some of the cosplay news, but she couldn't be. That's okay. Please do your best to send her lots of warm wishes. She could really, really use it right now. It's the holidays, and things are kind of going craptastically for the both of us. And yeah, well wishes are being sent to her. Please send her good thoughts if you can. So since I'm going to be soloing today, I thought this will be a good time to do some crafting because I got a lot of crafty things I got to get done within the next month. PAX South is a month and like a week and a half, 2 weeks away. So I really got to get my butt on the ball and get my stuff done. So this is going to be a crafting episode. So I'm going to try my best to actually maintain a conversation while I'm crafting. This is questionably going to not work, but that's okay. We're going to try. But I do want to go ahead and get a couple of quick things out of the way before we jump into the cool sewing machine area, which is why I've got this set up the way that I do, so that way you can kind of see what I'm doing as I'm doing it. Yay! So cosplay updates. First things first is that our end of the year episode is coming up. And that also means montage time. Yay! So usually what we do is we prompt you, the viewers and the listeners, to kind of give us a little bit of, you know, what has been your favorite moments of CosPod for the past year. And then you can write them into us by sending them through email at podcast@cospod.org. Or you can go to our Facebook page and you can post there. We'll have a post specifically for the montage. You can tweet us. You can tag us on DeviantArt, whatever. Just tell us what your favorite moments have been of CosPod for 2015. And then I'll squish it all together. Now, this is going to be funny because with YouTube's very funky copywriting things going on, what I'll probably end up doing is posting the montage separately from the episode. I hate to do that, but I kind of have to. Otherwise, YouTube's probably going to block it, and I don't want that to happen. So you can expect that montage to be up on our Facebook page. But yeah, other than that, if you can think of any moments that you really loved this year, anything that we've done that you enjoyed, if there was an interview that you liked, if there was something really stupid that Amber and I said that made you laugh, that's okay too. Because essentially the montage is everything and anything that we love about this show. And most of the time it's the two of us being really, really dorky. So there you go. Really approve of that. So yeah, send those in. Preferably get them in by, you know what, let me flip over. Aha, I need my handy dandy mouse because it's not here. Let me head to my calendar. This one's going to be a little bit funky with the editing time frame because this is not going to appear until beginning of next year. We are a little off on our schedule right now. So let's see. And this episode is going to drop on the 26th and the 27th. So if you can get your requests in by January 3rd. January 3rd is going to be the deadline. Get your requests in by then so that way I have a week to actually edit everything together and squish it all into one. Funny thing is that I recently just cleaned out my hard drive and I moved the last 30 episodes of CosPod to my external, completely forgetting about the fact that we would have the montage episode coming up. Yeah, I got to go and pull those back out and stick them on my hard drive again. That was really dumb of me. It happens. It's okay. So yeah, January 3rd is going to be the deadline. Make sure you contact us before then with your favorite CosPod moments. Cool? Cool. Okay, so the next update that we're also doing is we want to give a really, 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 really big thank you to everybody who helped donate to us on our GoFundMe campaign and our PayPal account to help us with our website renewal. It's been a pretty rough couple of months for both Amber and I, just financially speaking. She's had a lot of things going on with her family and with her home. I've just had a lot of very random bills just kind of crop up ever since Thanksgiving. And literally ever since the week before Thanksgiving, I have just had one huge bill after another, where it's just been wiping out my entire paycheck. And I get decently sized paychecks, so it's been a kicker. And unfortunately, it all just came in at once, and it's been hard for us to find extra cash out of our pockets to pay for our website renewals. There is always the option where we can move to another website. The problem becomes that we have so much data, because with 105 episodes after this one, that's a lot of gigabytes. And it takes us well over a month to transfer that information to a brand new web host. And it's just not feasible for us. Plus, the cost of cospod.org is going up. We've had the domain for a couple of years now. And as more people tune in and as more people visit the site, the value of the site goes up. Therefore, it increases every year. It just is what it is. And so it's much more feasible for us as a podcast to keep using the same host and then keep using the same privacy services. And they've been working really well for us. It just gets a little bit more expensive each time. And just the timing of it this year, not so gravy. So as much as Amber and I don't like asking for help and don't like asking for donations, we are a not-for-profit podcast. This is all 100% funded by the two of us. It just wasn't going to happen. And it was like, we can either do the GoFundMe or we lose our website. I mean, those are our options and we can't lose the website. So we reached out to you guys. You all responded in kind and we're able to maintain our website for 2016. So from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you guys immensely. You have no idea how much that means to the two of us. We know a lot of people listen. We know a lot of people watch. Not many people comment, and that's okay. That's usually how it is for a number of podcasts. That's always how it is. So we were really surprised to see so many people willing to donate their time and their money to ensure that CosPod can keep their website for another year. So a million billion thank yous from the bottom of our heart. We are so immensely appreciative of that. You have no idea. We so appreciate that. And Amber sends her love and thanks too. I know she would, so I'm sure she would probably echo the same things that I just said. Extra talking means Val needs more water. She gets dehydrated really quickly. Okay, and then other CosPod news is our correspondents from 2015. They're going to be sticking around with us for 2016. Yay! So we are really, really happy that all three of our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful correspondents are going to be sticking around with us and giving us news from all across the United States. They have given us a ton of content, and I really like the fact that you guys have been responding and showing your love for them as well. So Katie, Bailey, and Catherine are going to be sticking around. We're going to see more stuff from hopefully BlizzCon next year. That will make me very happy. But as well as all the Northern conventions and the East Coast conventions. And they've done a stellar job. I've been really happy with what they've produced, with some of the tutorials they've brought out, and especially the convention coverage. They've given us a lot of in-depth information that I really wasn't expecting from our first-year correspondents, that I was like, okay, we need to keep them around. We got to keep them around because they know their stuff. And we like the fact that they have really varied opinions, that they're all from different backgrounds. You know, some of them are just starting cosplay. Others have been doing this for a while, and they're also panel teachers. So, yeah, I'm really excited for that. So please make them feel welcome. Make them feel loved. They're going to be sticking around for a while, and I'm really happy for that. Yay! Okay. Ignore me as I pull fuzzies out of my project. So many fuzzies everywhere. And so now we're going to do the cosplay updates portion, which I figured it was probably going to be me because Amber has been in the process of shuffling some stuff around and moving things around her home. So it's mostly going to be me. And you probably recognize the dress form, which has become a part of a prop in my background whenever I do any type of streaming, because I just need to work with this all the time. So it's just kind of living there. But I wanted to show off some of the applique work that I've been talking about on this show. So I've got the big pieces done on the sleeves. Let me lift this up so you guys can see it a little bit better. Bloop. Look at the pretties and the shinies. It's probably going to be weird adjusting on the focus. So pretty. So this is the velvet on velvet applique. There's the underbelly of it. Ah, it's dangerous looking. And it turned out really, really nicely. There's one or two areas that I'm going to have to go in and kind of hand stitch and get rid of some weird bubbling that happened. I still have no idea how it happened, but it's an easy enough fix, so I'm not too concerned about it. And then I have to clean up a little few areas here and there. Like I've got a weird little stitch going on that you guys probably can't see in the camera, but it looks like it almost skipped a stitch. So it's got a little bit of extra thread popping out. So I'll need to jump in and hand stitch that sucker down. But otherwise, yeah, I'm really, really happy with how this all came together. Here's the other side. I still have more applique work that I need to do on this costume, but these were the big pieces that I was mostly concerned about. And as you can see by the light, it kind of changes color a little bit. This is one of the reasons why I went with the velvet. Oh, hey, there's extra thread here. Let's get rid of that sucker. Yeah, but that's one of the reasons why I went with the velvet, because the character's costume does this as well in the video game. This is from Final Fantasy XIV. And as the sun changes and as the light changes whenever she moves, the colors kind of shine and alter slightly along the sleeves. And the other thing is that when you zoom in really close on this costume, and they've got some really great high-res details of the outfit, it's very obvious that there's pile on the fabric and it's some type of velvet. So that's why I did velvet on top of velvet. It hurts my soul so badly. I highly do not recommend this for anybody. If you ever need to applique, don't do velvet. You will be crying and hating yourself afterwards. I'm glad that this didn't take as long as I had anticipated. I actually carved out 3 weeks for myself just in case if there were any problems. Luckily, that didn't happen. I was able to get these sleeves completely stitched down over the course of a weekend. Thank God. But I am going to have a tutorial up for this because I've had a number of people messaging me on my cosplay page who are interested in finding out, hey, how are you doing the applique of velvet on velvet? That because it doesn't seem like it should work, and it should be a time-consuming process. And I think for me, the most time-consuming portion was getting the applique to lay flat and for it to not move around during the stitching process. The stitching itself, I had to go slow. And that's mostly so I didn't destroy the pile of the fabric. If you go too fast or if you use too large of a needle, it'll actually start tearing at the fabric. And that's not so happy. We don't want that to happen. So I had to go really, really slow with my stitches. Even still, I was able to get this done over the course of a weekend. So not that big of a deal. I've had much smaller applique projects take longer in the stitching field. But basically, what I did, and I can kind of go over this with you guys before I make that tutorial. So basically, what I did was for the actual applique portion itself, that's going to be the dark silver pieces, I used heat and bond, and it is, I think I've got it right here. Aha, here we go. It's this heat and bond. It's the one that's in the purple package. Get the purple package. Do not get the red one. The red one will not work. The red one requires a higher heat, which will destroy velvet. There is no doubt about that. It also won't let you sew through it. So the purple package is only one side adhesive, and you can do it at a low enough temperature that it won't actually destroy the velvet. If you're using costume velvet, it won't work. You need actually a nice quality velvet, and that means getting the nice fashion one or getting the upholstery version. This is a fashion velvet, and actually, this one has a light cotton backing to it, which is really, really nice. So I think that helped me with the adhesion process as well. So you do one side, which would be, of course, beep, dishya, the sticky side, so that way beep, it goes up there. And then to attach the applique to the velvet itself, I just use tacky glue. Like literally, I just took some tacky glue and I smeared it along the bottom, popped it down, and then I just used a couple of heavy books and pressed them on top of the fabric to make sure that they would stay in place. And then once everything dried and I gave it about a day to dry everything, they didn't move. They didn't budge. It was really kind of awesome. I thought there would be something wrong. I thought there might be a problem. I was like, is this really going to work? But it worked out nicely. And the cool thing is that with the tacky glue, it didn't add any extra weight to the fabric. It didn't make it feel clumpy or lumpy on the other side. It still moves and flows like fabric should. So that was nice. What I also did, and you guys can see this on the back, I did an iron-on interfacing. I used Sulky. And let me see if I've got the box here. I think I do. Yep. This one. This one, you've actually got a couple of different options. I just happen to have the Tender Touch available, which is used more often than not for lightweight fabrics. This is just what I had on hand, and it worked really well for this. But any of the sulkies will work fine. But it's just another stabilizer on the back just to ensure that my stitches didn't mess up the fabric. So I had to iron that on really, really lightly, and then it was just a matter of going uber, uber slow on the sewing machine to get the nice stitching along the edges. And I think it turned out really, really cool. I like how it came out, and I like how the thread that I picked, which is, it wasn't really any fancy thread. I think it was just, I know it was a dual duty thread. I want to say it was from Gutterman. I'm not 100% certain, but it was just a standard gray thread. I didn't do anything special or fancy. I didn't get a metallic thread because I was afraid of it being too shiny, but it worked out really well. And it's all done with a very tight zigzag stitch, so it replicates a satin stitch. And just using one of my clear foots to put it through the machine. So yeah, it turned out really nicely, and I'm really, really happy with how it looks. I'm so happy. I cannot wait to get this stupid costume done. It's taking me forever. So yeah, there we go. And then part of the top, which is currently setting in pieces. I've done some more cutting this morning with the rest of the outfit. Everything below. What I'm going to be working on for this podcast is going to be everything below the waistline, so all the big dress stuff. My fabric ended up being only 44 wide, which I knew that was going to initially be an issue. Trying to find velvet and anything larger than like a 44 or a 45 is really difficult. Unless you want to spend like $120 per yard on upholstery version, which I've only seen go up to about 54 wide, and that still would not have been enough. So I've kind of had to do some creative editing with my stitch work. And I kind of used my lining as a test dummy to see exactly where I want those seams to fall. So I've had to make in some extra seams into my dress. Not all that thrilled about it because there's really only there's only two seams on the bottom of the outfit, and they're in the back. And it's just not feasible to do that with the velvet that I've purchased. And it's a great velvet. I think it looks dead on to what I want it to be for the character. I just can't make the skirt that wide. It just ain't gonna happen. So, and I kind of already knew that was going to be the situation when I went into this. I knew that if I wanted to have a nice clean look, especially around the sides, because that's always the one thing, it's like the fewer seams that you have, the more difficult it is to get it to fit to your body. I needed this to fit pretty nicely from like the bust up. It's pretty well fitted, and I knew it was like, okay, it's gonna have to have side seams. I just cannot avoid it. It's gonna have to happen. But even with the side seams, there isn't an easy way for me to keep this into two pieces, to have like a front piece and a back piece with just side seams. I actually had to make, there's a front piece, and then I got a side piece, a center back piece, and then another side piece. Luckily, where the seams fall on this particular costume, they're going to go right down the back. So it actually works that I can hide those seams a little bit better because they're going to be pleated over. So that'll be nice. I wish they had done that on the front to replicate that look on the back. Would have made my life so much easier with sewing, so I wouldn't have as many visible seams. But I'll take what I can get. It is what it is. Totally fine. I'll deal. So yeah, that is my crafting update. I have lots of velvet fuzzies everywhere. And I also started prepping work on my Amidala jacket redo. Got the velvet out. It's more velvet. It's black velvet. Got that velvet out, and I'm going to take it over to a friend's place tomorrow and start working on the cones for the sleeves. I was actually going to consider doing it today because I figured that would be a pretty easy project, and it's easy for me to manage while I'm talking at the same time. But that also means that I would have had to clean out my sewing machine twice. Because here's the thing, guys. Before you start working on a new project, always clean out your sewing machine, because you're going to have fuzz from your previous project sitting all up in this mess and it's not so gravy when those decide to magically appear in your new project. Especially since I'm working with Velvet, I know there's going to be a lot of fuzzies in here and a lot of fuzzies in here. I can already see fuzz balls there, and that's not good. So the last thing that I wanted to do was shove my black velvet under here without cleaning this out, and then getting a bunch of the white and the silver actually sewn into the velvet. Not so good. Especially since I'll be using elastic thread in the bobbin on the bottom. I can't waste that thread. There's only 11 yards, and I've had to buy 25. Wait, am I 25? No, I'm at 28. I've had to buy 28 of those elastic threads, and I don't think that's enough still. I actually had to go buy more velvet just to make sure I had enough in case I needed overage. So yeah, can't really do that. And then once I'm done with the black thread, if I want to get back to this piece, that means I have to clean all this out one more time so that way the black stuff gets on my nice white stuff. It sucks sewing sometimes. I just need to stick to like one set of color fabric so that way I don't ever have to worry about this junk ever again. I got so many fuzzies everywhere. They're just going all over the place. Ugh. I need to defuzz my room. We're going to defuzz this place. There you go. Okay, so that's the update there. Woot! I'm going to move this sucker out of the way. Maybe. Carefully. Sort of. And boop. Okay, where are my pieces? Pieces are here. Huzzah. I got to remember which piece is which. Because I cut them out earlier this morning. Okay, I think I need this one. I don't. Oh, nope. This is the other one. You're the one that I don't need quite yet. You're the front. So we get to kind of piece this skirt together, and this is going to be the back portion. Yep. The other thing I was concerned about is because this is velvet, it's very easy to see if you sew things the wrong way because the pile will like to change direction on you. So it's like, okay, if I went width-wise in my cuts, other than the fact that it would be ridiculously short on the bottom, which is not what I need to happen, but if I didn't line up the fabric just right so that way it matched all the way around, it would just look really, really wonky. It would look like I've got pile going one way, pile going another way, and then this way, and then this way, and it just wasn't a proper way to mitigate the cuts. Yeah, it probably would have meant that I would have less seams, but it would look really weird. I'd rather have more seams and have it fit properly and look nice versus less seams and it looking like a giant train wreck. I do not need train wrecks right now. Bloop. All right, I know what that one is, and I've got two pieces of this. We're going to start with the back piece first. Would help if I remember which side was which. Let me see, which side was the cut? The cut was this side, which makes this the front. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to save you. See, and there's even fuzzies on the black fabric. Yikes. The black fabric was my test pattern, and it ended up working pretty well. So I use that to cut up my stuffs. All right, so this side is the front. Boop. We get to do all this pinning. Yay. This is going to be center back. Let me make sure. Probably would have helped if I pinned all this beforehand, but you know, meh. Okay, that's correct. And what my plan is, bloop, and I found this out while working with my lining, I get a much cleaner line when I actually sew up the sides together and then all the way up through to the bottom of the sleeve. It's a trick I learned while making kimonos, and it actually ended up producing a much nicer line underneath the sleeve because it actually looks like it's much more closed and more even. I have issues with sleeves. Sleeves and I don't really get along very well. So whatever I can do to make the process of attaching and sewing sleeves, I will totally do it. And this method seemed to work really well for me. Okay. So I'm definitely too long on the bottom, which means I need to stick you about here. And we'll have to adjust there. I can make that happen. Yes, I know my fabric is not ironed. I'm going to lay all this sucker out first. Make sure it's completely flat. And then I'll be able to close the entire thing together. Boop. Guess what, sewing machine? Your storage space right now. I really should break open my other thing of needles because, oh my God, these are looking horrid. So very, very horrid. Okay, another drink. So, the topic that we were going to talk about today was going to be over Kamui's article about cosplay contests. And actually, Amber brought it up first, and I was like, that's a good idea, especially since the two of us have a ton of knowledge about how they're run. Not only have we participated in them as separately and together as a team, you know, but we've judged contests, we've ran contests, we've worked for contests. I mean, we've been in all aspects of the cosplay contest world, that we've got a pretty good understanding about what to expect, what's going on, and how each convention typically runs their contests. So Kamui's article was very interesting, and we should have it linked already on our Facebook page, and if we don't, we will definitely link it here in this episode. But what was very interesting about it was her views on it were pretty, I don't want to say limited, because limited is not the right word. She's got a vast amount of knowledge for it. So I'm trying to think of what would be an appropriate word for this. I don't know if there is an appropriate word. Because she's got the knowledge to back it up. And how she's experienced costume contests here in the United States, typically it's only been for BlizzCon, which has a very specific set of rules and standards that are different from most other contests around the country. So for something like BlizzCon or something like even WonderCon or San Diego Comic-Con, because SDCC has very similar rules, the outline that Kamui provides is really helpful. It gives you exactly what you need to know about contests, what to expect from them, and what you can do to prepare for them. There have been a couple of rebuttal articles that have popped up since then, which kind of go into more detail about what to expect at most other conventions. Because, you know, while Kamui's tips are helpful for the Comic Cons, a couple of them, and for BlizzCon, they don't necessarily apply to a lot of the other conventions that happen in this country, particularly anime conventions. You're more likely to see a costume contest at an anime con than you are at like a video game con or a comic con. And the way that one convention holds a contest will vary drastically from how another convention holds a contest. So and the example that I like to use all the time is with locally, since we used to report about both these conventions constantly, we still do for ACON, but it used to be, you know, ACON versus A-Fest, you know, how do they run their contests? And they're so vastly different, but they're two anime conventions in North Texas. So you'd imagine that they would be really, really similar. They're not. It's like the complete opposite spectrum on what to expect with both of those conventions. It's a night and day difference. So that's one of the nice things about seeing all the rebuttal articles is that they're not dismissing Kamui's point of view or her knowledge because she has a lot of information to share. But it's very obvious that what she has to share really only works for a particular set of conventions and for those rules. It doesn't necessarily reflect the whole. Because how BlizzCon runs their contest is leaps and bounds different from how we see anime conventions run their contest. I mean, or even how we run our contest at AllCon. We've got a completely set of different set of rules that wouldn't fit with AllCon setting or fit with KatsuCon or fit with even WCS. Every contest is run a little bit differently and works a little bit differently. Which has its ups and downs. Downside is that because there is no one governing body for cosplay contests, there's no easy way to contest rules or to question them until long after contest is over, and you hope that the convention heads will listen to you. And in a lot of cases, the rules are something that are predetermined by the convention from day one, and they're not allowed to change. Like something that we had to do for AllCon in our contest is it's a requirement for us to have a point system. We have no way of changing that. That is just a flat out rule that we have to maintain. And it's because the convention had problems in the past where people were contesting winners in their standard costume contest, their Saturday night costume contest, which is a really big deal there. You know, they had too many people questioning the results, and so they went to a point-based system. And ever since then, you know, if somebody brought up a problem, they can say, "Here's the point sheet. This is why X person won." And then there was no, and ever since then, the complaints have dropped down drastically. They almost never have anybody complain anymore. So because of that, when they handed the cosplay contest to us, they were like, "You know, here's one of our rules. It needs to be a point-based system, and we have no way of fudging out of that." It's like, okay, it's a point-based system. We will make that work. You know, so there are some conventions that are like that, that those are the rules and it's not going to change, you know. But then most anime conventions, if they have any type of craftsmanship, it may be that they spend an entire day looking at every contestant's costume and making everybody go through a 20-minute interview process. And you have to wear that same costume for 2 or 3 days before you actually go up onto a stage and have it judged. Fanime is like this. Fanime has a 2-day judging time on Friday and Saturday, and then the event itself is on Saturday evening. And that's a bugger in itself, because usually when you put that costume on, you only want to wear it once for the contest and then you're done. But a number of those people have to wear it the day before, pray to whatever deity will listen to them, nothing bad will happen to the costume. They have to go through a long interview process. They have to have all their seams checked. They're asked a ton of questions about their craftsmanship, you know, and then they have to go back in the next day in the same costume and rehearse their performances and do the lineup thing. So that can be very, very daunting. But then there are some things like a comic book contest, which I've seen as a very, very, very stripped down version of standard cosplay contests, where you sign up like 2 hours beforehand. You know, the judges are random celebrities from the con that they just pick. Sometimes there's a cosplay guest involved, not always. And then they spend like 10 minutes talking about which one was their favorite, and then they go from there. You know, it's not about craftsmanship. A lot of times it's just about showmanship. It's about how you act on the stage and how much you look like the character. That's about it. You know, so it is going to vary from contest to contest. There is no one overarching system that says this is the way to do it or this is not the way to do it. And it has its ups and downs. I mean, I think on the plus side, it gives everybody the freedom to choose the contest that best suits them. Because I'll use AllCon again as another example. For the longest time, the craftsmanship was not a requirement to be in the stage contest. Craftsmanship was for a hallway. So if you had this really ornate, detail-driven costume, it was recommended that you enter the hallway contest because that gives you more time to have your costume examined and looked up closely, and then they would pick a winner from that. Which was funny because it didn't give as much prestige or as great of a reward as comparison to the stage contest, which really was just about being flashy. And you know what might help is if I change my stitch length. Whoops. Let's go back and fix that. But 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago? Yeah, it was 2 years ago, because that's when I decided to try it again, because I was never really happy about the fact that the stage contest didn't have a craftsmanship portion. And you could only do it for hallway, and the hallway contest was open for a very limited time frame, and it was too cumbersome to try and fit into the hallway schedule. But I was like, oh, hey, the main stage finally has craftsmanship. Let me give it a shot. And yeah, still takes too darn long. I'm sorry, Akon. I appreciate the fact that you guys put on a great show. You always make it enjoyable. You always make it memorable. But spending 9 hours for cosplay contest with prejudging is a little insane. I mean, there's no reason for it to take up my entire day. And I look to my experience with WonderCon as WonderCon and DragonCon as fantastic examples. Conventions who are 5 times larger than the size of Akon. Okay, WonderCon is maybe about 5,000 larger. At the time, okay, Akon's roughly about 23K. WonderCon at the time I went was about 30K. So actually pretty respectable. Well, you look at DragonCon, which is like 80,000 people, much bigger. The conventions of a much larger size, having the same staff and about the same budget, were able to put people through the entire cosplay contest process in about 3 hours or less. My DragonCon experience was 3 hours, and that was with prejudging. My entire experience with WonderCon was 2.5 hours, and that was 2 hours of the stage show and 30 minutes beforehand for my prejudging, because they did prejudging as everybody was filing into the room and getting ready. That's it. So I know you can do it, Akon. You can make it happen. Just make it happen. I think that's a curse of anime cons, is too much time spent on prejudging when it can easily be done in an hour before the actual contest begins. Just saying. Because, man, that's a beatdown. Having to sit through all that is a beatdown. So yeah, never again. I got a new hardcore rule now. If I can't get a contest done in 3 hours or less, I don't want to have any part in it. That's just me. But yeah, so something like BlizzCon and their judging rules and their judging practices may not necessarily work for other contests where the rules are going to be much more open, You know, it may be that the convention decided that they were going to do a cosplay contest 3 weeks out, and they just kind of made up the rules on the fly. But the judges are also going to change, too. I mean, at a comic book convention, you're very rarely going to see a cosplay guest be the judge. It's a little bit more common now, but out of a panel of like 5 or 6 people, you'll get one cosplayer, and the rest of them are celebrities of various degrees. You know, and some of these celebrities have no idea how a costume is put together. They just know about the showmanship. They just know about, you know, well, this looks kind of like the character, or we hope that this looks kind of like the character, or, oh gosh, this guy in the armor is really cool looking. We should give it to him. So again, it's going to change. There is just no way to avoid that. And then there are certain conventions where even at like anime cons, you know, they prefer to get people who know about craftsmanship, because that's a big key thing with anime contests that I see over other conventions is craftsmanship, craftsmanship, craftsmanship. So they make sure that they get not only cosplayers involved. I think I've got this backwards now, so hang on a second. Boop. So they get cosplayers involved, but they also get local seamstresses involved. So it could be those who actually teach it at a college level. It could be those who work at Renaissance and medieval fairs, or those who do historical costuming. You know, they get a wide variety of backgrounds so that it can cater to the multiple types of costumes that you're likely to see at a costume contest. But it also gives them the opportunity to really dig in and figure out, okay, who are the people who stand out because of their craftsmanship versus those who just kind of threw it all together and made it up as they went along. Not to say that that's a bad thing. All right, standing up for half a second because I think I pulled my pattern backwards, which was dumb of me. Loop. I think I am backwards. I could be frontwards. I think I'm backwards. That's not good. Fudge. Hang on. Had a fudge moment. Okay, so this is the right panel. That would be the bottom. Hello. Okay. So this is the front. So I need to flip it over. I did have it backwards. But now I know where to do with it. Aha! Okay, and I need it down about a quarter of an inch. I can do a quarter of an inch. So maybe about there. So yes, judge quality can also differ from contest to contest. It can even differ in the same contest. Like my very first judging experience was with two very well qualified seamstresses. And I honestly thought that I was not up to snuff by a long shot. I knew that I was a newbie in the group. I was it was my very first experience. I have a general idea of how to sew. I have a general idea of what works, what looks good. But I am a super newbie. I am a super, super newbie. And that really, really concerned me because my first judging experience was with the infamous Yaya Han. So I was nervous beyond all belief because I felt like I was going to mess up. I felt like I was going to make horrible decisions. I truly didn't know what to expect. And luckily, both her and Aletha Burns, who was the other person, who was the other cosplay guest there, they were really kind about the entire experience. You know, they told me what they typically look for, what they consider to be good quality, not good quality, you know, how they rank people, how they rank cosplayers, how they look at group cosplays. And that actually made me feel a lot more comfortable to realize that a lot of the things that I like in a costume were the same things that they look out for. So there is always that possibility that you're going to get a brand spanking new judge who has never done this before as, you know, part of the judging team. And you have people with different specialties and different backgrounds. Like I mentioned earlier, I mean, you've got somebody who's into historical costuming, and then you have maybe somebody who really only knows about armor or really only knows about how to make props and doesn't really understand what it's like to sew things. Or you have somebody who is a master at making wigs, but not so great at the prop section. You know. So how do you get them to judge a costume when they're only good at this particular aspect of things? So it's a lot to take into consideration and to figure out, you know, okay, what works, what doesn't work, and all that business. So, you know, and when you have something like BlizzCon and who judges it, I mean, a lot of the times contests like that, it's just simply judged by people who work at Blizzard, who probably have never sewn a costume in their entire life. They just look at it and they're like, okay, this looks cool. That wins. I mean, and I know that for them, there's a much longer judging process involved, but the judges that are typically selected are those who work directly for the company. So they're going to have a different point of view on what's considered good quality versus other people in the costuming industry. So that's something else to keep in mind too. I mean, really, truthfully, no two contests are alike. While many of them will share similarities. And if you go to a costume contest at an anime convention, you have a pretty good idea of what to expect. You know that craftsmanship is going to take priority. You know that, they're going to expect a certain level of posterity and expertise from the judging staff. And when you go to a comic book convention, it's going to be much more low key. It's going to be fun. It tends to be more about entertaining the audience, less about, the details into making an outfit. But then you also have to remember that certain contests, like at the level of Costume Con, they'll do on-stage interviews instead of backstage interviews with the judges. So you're looking at a contest that could potentially take 5, 6 hours long. God, I hope that's not the case. I never want to be involved with that. I would be bored after an hour. But you're looking at those type of situations where the way they judge a costume is completely different. And there are some conventions where they don't take into account any stage presence. It's all about, how you created the costume has nothing to do with how you modeled it. And that's how it was for me at Dragon Con. That was 100% craftsmanship, had nothing to do with my character acting at all, even though I did a little bit because I felt like it needed to happen. It's weird to walk around as Amidala and not carry that attitude with her. It makes me feel at a loss when I don't. Hopefully that makes sense. Boop. More pinning. So much more pinning. And then I'm trying to remember, there was another example in one of the articles that I read. Oh, posterity and prizes. Yeah, those will vary from convention to convention too. I've seen a lot of comic book conventions tend to give away free passes to the next event, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. That's especially with things like Wizard World, that's like $85 that you save. That's always a good thing. And it doesn't cost the convention anything to give that away. For them, that's like, okay, it's a guaranteed somebody's going to come back and spend more money. Aha. But I've been to a number of anime conventions where it's just dealer's room leftovers. I still have the ecchi towel that I won for Best Masters at Anime Fest in 2012. I think this was 20, no, it was 2011. Hiding over here. I actually have it hidden because it's just disturbing. I did get a really nice plaque out of it a month later, but yeah, that was when I was given on stage and I was just like, really? I made a period accurate costume and I get a beach towel. Thanks. But that happens all the time. The dealer's room leftovers is a common sighting at anime conventions. I'm gonna speed this up a bit. Spend so much time pinning. You can probably hear it through the microphone. All right. Pausing to straighten the sucker out and not stab my fingers. Please don't stab me. There will be no blood sacrifice on this costume. God forbid. I cannot have a single blood stain on this. Funny enough, this is actually my second return. Yeah, this is my second return for this particular fabric. When they finally sent me this fabric 2 weeks later than it was supposed to arrive, they not only shorted me half a yard, they split my order because I ordered 7 yards just to make sure I got myself covered on anything. 7 yards is more than enough for this, but I wanted extra in case something stupid happened because stupid always happens. I ordered 7 yards of this. They shorted me a yard. They also cut my order where I had 6 yards on one, half a yard on the other. What the heck am I going to do with two cuts? What the heck am I going to do with half a yard of velvet? Nothing works for half a yard of velvet except for maybe a throw pillow. It was the dumbest thing I had ever seen. And what made it even worse was about a yard and a quarter into the 5 yard cut, to the 5.5 yard cut. Oh, wait, that was the 6 yard cut. My apologies. That was the 6 yard cut, not 5.5. I'm getting confused because I've had a lot of problems with this particular company. So about a yard and a quarter into that 6 yard cut, there was a bunch of spotting all over it. And these were deep set in stains that you could not remove. The only other option would have been to use bleach, which would have completely destroyed this fabric. So what that put me back to actually 4 3/4 yards that was usable off of that one cut and then the half yard from the other. And it was just like, really? Guys, this is terrible. So they finally sent me this replacement of weeks back. It's been a while. With many heartfelt apologies. Yeah. I don't think the apologies or the woman who said, I watched them personally cut this. Everything is fine with this fabric. I don't think she was actually watching it. I think they were just doing it as lip service because I found towards the end of the cut that I didn't get a chance to inspect. Luckily, I haven't had a need to use it, and I hope I don't have a need to use it because I wouldn't be able to. There's two really big gray spots about the size of my thumb in the middle of the fabric, about a yard and a half in. Yeah. It looks like mold. I know it's not mold. That's just what it looks like. It looks like somebody threw the fabric somewhere and now there's mold all over it. Again, it's not really mold. It just looks like mold. Not happy about that. And then on my third piece of fur that I ordered from them because they kept screwing it up and giving me really bad fabric because it was just like dirty and stained all over the place. The last one had I don't even know what it was. I really truly don't know. It looked like somebody took paint and just drizzled it all over the fabric. It was just really, really nasty. I still could have used it, but I would have had to cut around everything and do additional seams that didn't need to be there. The replacement they sent me was no better because about halfway through the cut, there's just one giant dark line that's right down the middle. It's like, guys, I know you're a wholesale site, but you can do better than this. This is just trashy. Come on now. Let's get our acts together. Right, I'm doing the field test to make sure that it's all going the right way. All right, we're good. I'll have to iron this sucker out. So many lines, so many lines. This is going to be kind of weird because there's actually going to be a little bit of pleating here. And then you have the seam line, and then there's an additional pleat at the bottom with the seam line. So silly. Boop. I have a feeling I'm going to have to edit that one out. I guess I could go ahead and start attaching the front piece. Front piece might be easier. I should probably do the back piece first. So that way, if I screw up, it's easy for me to clean it up. So yeah, back to the cosplay contest thing. I think it'll be interesting next time if when Amber is back and is able to sit in with us, if we actually take the time to kind of talk a little bit more in depth about our experience with cosplay contests. Because she's been mostly focused on anime conventions and the craftsmanship side of stuff. And I've kind of experienced a little bit of everything. I've been at East Coast cons, West Coast cons, to the north, to the south, and I've been in a variety of different masquerades that my experience with cosplay contests are a little bit different from hers. And I've definitely done more of the judging thing than she has. So I have a much better idea of what people look for than what she does. And I work my portfolios that way too. One of the biggest compliments I received was at Dragon Con, when I had all the judges say that I had one of the best laid out portfolios that they had seen in a long time. And I was like, well, thank you. They were like, have you done this before? Yes. I've judged at contests before, so I know exactly what to look for. And I make sure I build my portfolio to reflect what I want to see as a judge. So please view my tutorial video because, hey, that would help you guys out if you're ever interested in a costume contest. That's a great way to build a portfolio. Watch that video. You can Google it, or you can actually go through YouTube and search, and it should come up as Cosplay Portfolio under our channel. Really easy to find. So yeah, each contest is going to be a little bit different. I can always just, the big thing that I recommend to people is Take the time to go to the convention site and read their rules. Don't just assume things right off the bat, because everything's run a little bit differently. Read the rules, see what's accepted, what's not accepted, because you may find that your unique Iron Man steampunk outfit is not allowed by the convention, that they only take, 100% pre-existing characters. You can't do alterations, you can't do unique things. Or you have events like Costume Con, where they have certain events where they want 100% original characters. They want your OCs. So everything is run a little bit differently. Read the rules. If you have questions, don't be afraid to ask the staff members. Email them before you sign up so you know exactly what you're getting into. And the same thing, if you go to their forums or to their Facebook page, or friends who have competed in the past, talk to them about it. Ask them what it was like. Ask them what to expect. What could I do to make this a good experience for myself? Because maybe you decide that you want to sign up for the contest at Capsicon, and then you have one of your friends tell you that, they had to sit there for 8 hours in their outfit and they weren't allowed to see the rest of the convention. Then you'll realize, well, maybe this isn't for me. I don't want to do that. But maybe you can enter the hallway contest instead, which usually lasts about 30 minutes at most. You can be in, be out, and enjoy the rest of the con without having to worry. You can always do that as an option too. And again, every contest, because the rules are so different, it could be that the main stage contest has nothing to do with craftsmanship. Maybe that's just reserved for hallway, or vice versa. Maybe hallway is reserved for people who wanted to show off their costume and just don't want to get up on stage because of stage fright, they're not interested, can't fit their schedule, whatever. And the main stage is just simply catwalk, where it's all about the presentation of the outfit and the final look. So it's going to change from place to place. Read the rules, ask questions, don't be afraid to ask the questions. It's better to ask than to not ask at all. And you don't want to end up at the contest and realize, oh crud, this isn't going to fit. This is not going to work for me. And I tell this to people all the time too. There's nothing worse than having someone sign up for a contest, expecting them, keep calling out their name, and then they don't show up. It looks rude, it looks disrespectful, and it's like, okay, we spent all this time planning to have you be a part of our show, and then you don't show up. That's not cool. So if you're not able to attend, if you sign up for a cosplay contest and you realize it doesn't fit for you, email the staff. If you're at the con when you decide you don't want to do it, tell one of the staff members. It's totally fine because that way we can rearrange things and quickly get you moved out and maybe get another person in who would have liked to have joined, who maybe couldn't have done it online or didn't quite make it in time because we'd already filled up or whatever. Just be courteous to the staff members and give them that heads up. It helps out immensely. So yeah, that's all I got about the cosplay contest talk. Ta-da. Bask in my knowledge and in my experience. Though if you guys are interested in more, that's part of the sleeve, isn't it? Yeah. If you guys are interested in learning more on my personal blog, I actually did a write-up specifically for cosplay contests. We'll do it down this way. And it's not about how the rules are different, how things can change, blah, blah, blah. That one is specifically about some tips and tricks on how to improve your runway presentation. Because that's one of my biggest things ever since I started teaching all this stuff, is that there really aren't many panels, if any at all, that go over how one should walk in a costume contest. Typically, anything that I've seen has been WCS related about, okay, this is how you get into it. Here's this, here's that, blah, blah, blah. It's never really about the presentation. Because presentation makes up a really, really, really big chunk of the score. Maybe not as much as craftsmanship, depends on the convention. But how you present yourself to the audience and how you present yourself to the judges can affect the final score. And especially for those who use some type of point system, it can be a make or break. Part of what cosplay is the play aspect, and that's actually transforming yourself into the character for the audience, for the judges, for the photographers. So what I've created on my blog is basically a couple of tips and tricks on how to make your cosplay presentation better and what judges are looking for and what you can do to really take it up a notch. And it's good for new cosplayers who are fresh to the convention scene or fresh to any type of, who are fresh to any type of contest, or for those who are veterans, because I've seen from all sides of the gamut, those who are first timers to those who have been doing this for 5 years. Like, even the 5 year vets sometimes don't know how to walk a stage. And that kills me, because presentation is everything. Presentation is so important. So highly recommend it. It's a couple of tips and tricks that I've learned over the years that I think are immensely helpful, no matter what your level is in the cosplay scene. And now I get to do the fun part of figuring out how I'm going to get these pleats to work out just right. So that way I got one here and then one here. Let the entertainment begin. So I have to make sure that the pleat is on the seam or it ain't going to look red. This was not as much crafting as I had anticipated, but that's okay. This was a worthwhile discussion. That's all that matters. Right? Right. And I already know some of the sides are going to be taken in. All right, get that section done. How big is that pleat? I like to eyeball. I'm an eyeballer. I'm a baller. That's not right. I am too white to be saying that. I have been playing too much GTA. Boop. All right. All right, pleat line. Let's take a look. So I know that's going to be excess. That's fine if that gets cut off. I have to be careful because the pleat line is going to go there. It's not going to travel all the way down, though it's thick enough to. It's going to have to spread back out because then I have to do it again here, right about there. Now, the way this pleat line works is it weighs the tar out of me. I know why people do not make this outfit. It's very cumbersome. It looks simple. It is not simple. This devil's work. Oh, look at my eyeballing skills. Look at that. My eyeball works. Yay. Okay. So first things first is I need to get this down to about there. And that's going to carry it over. I'll have to do some extra work there. Crud. I don't like the pleating. Pleating can go die. I do not like to pleat. Okay, I'll have to do some pressing then. Ugh, pressing on velvet, not so fun. Okay. Anyway, hey, I actually killed almost an hour. Go me. I'm awesome. So yeah, that was basically our cosplay discussion for the day. Woo! And my sewing was very minimal. At least I started on the bottom half of my skirt. That's something, right? Totally something. So yeah, hopefully Amber will be able to join us next time. Hopefully we can get some life things sorted out and taken care of. Our website is going to be up and running still, so you don't have to worry about that. So you can still email us and all that graviness. Remember to send in your montage requests to our email address or to our Facebook page. You can tweet us, you can bug us on DeviantArt, wherever. Our email is podcast@cospod.org. And then, of course, all of our social media stuff up here and down here. And we're going to be taking those requests in until January 3rd. And this is all of your favorite moments from 2015. So anything and everything that you can think of that you enjoyed with CosPod. It can be anything dorky that Amber and I have done to some of your favorite interviews, your favorite tutorials. Even if it's just, you know, hey, I like the entire Halloween episode. We can do that and just pull a couple of our favorite bits and pieces from that too. So just send in your requests and we'll make sure that it gets added into our yearly montage. Other than this is going to be Valerie signing off. Episode 105 is in the can. Woot! 106 will be coming up in the new year. Yay! I can't believe it's almost 2016. It's going to be a busy 2016 already. Because all I see in my future is velvet. Peace out, guys.